most, if not all, of the secular material I've given you comes from either Science or Nature, the two most prestigious scientific journals that we have, peer review, held in high reputation, etc. The breakthrough of the year, last year, 2008, was reprogramming, is actually work that began, you see page one, only in 1997 was the stem cell isolated. No one ever saw a stem cell before 1997. They knew it had to be there, because from animal work there was some raya that stem cells are actively involved in repair and so on. One of the most dramatic occurrences in clinical science, that by year 2002, stem cells were being used by some people in therapy. Unheard of for a drug to make it on the market that fast, let alone something as complex as a cell that no one even knew what it does, exactly how it does it, etc. First, I think we come from a different frame of reference. The Rambam in Yesod HaTorah, in Peg Beis Halach Aleph, Hakel HaNichbod VaNora Mitzvah L'Avo L'Yiro Mimenu. Two mitzvahs of the Targum, mitzvahs Abbas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Shenemar v'nehavta Hashem alakecha v'nemar as Hashem alakecha tiro. Now, what does that mean? These are words without meaning as far as we are concerned. What do you mean you love God? And what do you mean you fear God? Fear, I understand. You believe there's a God, there's chav onesh. You're afraid God will punish you. But that's not the way the Rambam interprets Yiro. In Sefer HaMitzvos, he interprets Yiro as Yiras Chet, Yiras Onesh. But all place else, he interprets it as Yiras Romemus, to be in awe of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what he says. Hechi haderech lavosu l'yirosu. How you stand up and you shuckle. The more you shuckle, the more you love him. The more Yiras Hashem you have. Bishor she is born an Adam b'masov ubruv hanifloim hagedolim. You go see an elephant. You go see a skeleton of a mammoth. That's Bruv Hanifloim. The Yira Mehem Chachmaso Shein Lo Erech Lo Keitz. And you realize we have a smart God. He manages to master biology, chemistry, physics. Something you kids can't do. Miyad Hu Oev U Meshabeach U Mepor U Mesave Ta'avo Gdolo Leida Hashem HaGodol. When I see God in action, if you have the blessing of a curious mind, then you want to know what's happening. How did God do this? Once upon a time, they used to say that there are no atheists in biology. Anyone who's seen a cell under a microscope can't believe anything but here lies Chochmah that's beyond the comprehension of mankind. Nowadays, it's hard to find a biologist who's not an atheist. That Darwin and his chevra managed to get in there, but that's not for now. What's interesting is that the Rambam didn't say, you know how you'll get to understand Kodesh Baruch Hu and be impressed by God? Make sure you finish us, then you'll know everything. Hafochbo, vafochbo, de kulebo. That's nonsense. It's not all in the Torah, no. Torah didn't tell us those things. Rambam says you have to get outside and see what's happening in the world. And here I'll add, what Rambam didn't add, and compare our understanding of the world to their understanding of the world. Then you'll be impressed with Kodesh Baruch. We're discussing how do you evaluate stem cells? Is it good for the Jews or not? How we view it, how others view it. Here you see the Chokhmas Hashem. You know, the Shiltas Rabbi Choy Goen on the Parsha Shavua, every now and then after discussing a halacha, breaks into exaltation. Boruch Hamoka Moshanosan Torah Lama Yisrael. No one understands why. If you do a little reading in history, and you see how the Goyim handled this same ethical issue, and then you hear how Halacha handles it, then you exalt in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Boruch Avonu Mikol Amin. That's part of how we understand a modern problem. Stem cells hold the promise of everlasting life, immortality. Your kidneys are bad, you throw them out, like when you go into the mechanic. He doesn't fix anything. Right? Throws out the old one, puts in a new one. If my stem cells will behave, I'll put one little stem cell in the kidney that's impaired, that needs dialysis. In the course of a few months, you'll have a new kidney. You have heart failure, and that's being done today. I inject a few stem cells in the heart. Machlokas is it really getting the results that we think we're getting from the stem cell, or is it due to something else, the stimulation of the heart with the injections or something? But the fact is that people, mamish, on the brink of death, are doing better after they get injected with stem cells. And then we find that some people got injected with stem cells, or rather some animals got injected with stem cells, and the stem cells made tumors that destroyed the animal, caused cancer. Suddenly we have a halachic problem. Is it good for the Jews or not? You do it or not? So what I did here, really relatively short notice, because I didn't bring it up, but I prepared a PowerPoint largely on the halacha part, meaning basically on hashkofa. That's not our topic. That you've been getting from everybody. Everybody has been giving you Torah hashkofa on the issue, and I'm sure they've covered all the important ones. If you follow me where I put together, look at page 2. By the numbers on the pages are in the right hand lower corner. And if you can't read them, that's not my fault. This is Adam decided that he's going to help me out and put the numbers in, but he's too cheap to give big numbers. Okay, I summed up a whole history, 2-3 years of terrible Agmas Nefesh for the scientific community, because nothing hurts a scientist more than to be looked upon as a fool. And everybody was fooled. This fellow Huang, I gave you just the last, the Maskone, right? That's October 2009. He didn't go to jail, but what he did was present us, meaning our Pi Haloche, with all the questions that you want to ask. What did he do? He lied. You're not supposed to lie up here, Aloha. That's not nice. He just made up the whole story. Everybody was so sure you could take the stem cell and do wonderful things with it. He said, I did. And actually, he did one good thing, one accurate thing, rather. He cloned a dog with a stem cell. Now, understand what a stem cell is. A stem cell represents all the genetic material of the whole organism. So if I can get that stem cell to reproduce an organism by using it as a preparing an embryo from it, and the way it was usually done in animal work was to take an egg, a female egg from a cow, pull out the nucleus, and stick in the nucleus of the stem cell. And a little shock of electricity, it starts dividing. And you're going to end up with a whole organism. That's cloning, right? Not therapeutic research, not therapeutic treatment. Therapy is to cure an illness. This you can make a whole organism. And he claimed he made a dog and it proved to be right. He did make a dog that way. A dog that was the exact image of the exact genetic makeup of the parent dog that gave the stem cell. If the first tumult in the field was, oh, you can start cloning human beings. No one wants to clone a human being. That's abomination. All we're going to do is clone a heart, a kidney, a liver. Not a whole human being. There's no money in it. How many people want to do it? There's no support for it. One Meshuggah wants to be cloned, right? Looking for immortality. Well, it could happen sometimes. But otherwise, we're just looking to repair damaged organs in the body. Because once I go ahead and learn how the cell goes, how the cell reproduces, in fact, if you turn to the should have been the last page, you know. Yeah, the very last page. You see, they did it. But they did it from an adult stem cell. You need to know that definition. They produced a new prostate. One cell produced a whole organ. It's a complex organ. Has several lobes, etc. So we know it's doable. But it is an adult stem cell. What's an adult stem cell? There are stem cells in all parts of the body. There are embryonic stem cells that come from the beginning of a fetus, the beginning development. Those are really called embryonic stem cells. They are that's where the hope lies, as we'll see, because there's pretty good evidence that these stem cells can do, the adult stem cells can do a lot of good things. They can make a whole prostate, but they can't do everything. We need a cell that's pluripotent. Pluripotent means it can make skin cells, nerve cells, blood cells, sperm cells, egg cells, it can do everything. And you have to understand what this is. With a stem cell, you can have a person be his own parents, meaning his own grandparents, anyway. He can give rise to children, right, without anybody else. No female needed. This is, it's such a dramatic development there that were it not for the fact that this guy Wang fooled everybody, we would have been 3, 4, 5 years down the line already in clinic. But because Wang lied, he did more than lie. He did evil. What he did was, remember, he's in China, in Taiwan. So what he did was force his lab assistants to provide eggs. The barrier the shortfall is on human eggs. Once I have a human egg, I pull out the nucleus, I put in what I want. But where do you get human eggs? And as we've been saying in Shir, a lady doesn't lay an egg like a chicken. That'll make a hole someplace in her. Take out the eggs. So it's not a garnish. You're talking about an invasive technology. Why would a woman do it? And we ask, is a woman allowed to do it? We'll see soon. Osel Adam Lachbo Biatzmo. What, for research? For something? What he did, he ran through, according to some estimates, over 2,000 eggs. Where did he get these eggs? He paid for them. It's the things that are involved, as we'll see, so many medical ethics issues today. Commodification of the human being. He became a commodity. We sell sperm, we sell eggs, I'll sell you a kidney, right? Maybe a piece of liver. Somehow it's not quota odom to be listed on the commodity exchange. But Wang, by his Ganevisha business, he only just lied. He published data, and of course, that was the embarrassment. He fooled everybody, because everybody was hoping that this would work. And this guy says it works, okay. But he never did anything on humans. He couldn't do anything. He succeeded on a dog. But that's been done before, on mice and rats and such. Okay. Now here's where we come into the picture. Look at page 5. I put down the ethical basis of medical care. And that's part of also not only if you do any reading in this field, you want to talk about the Romimus, the glory of Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's no better place to look for it. But there's another aspect to it. If this holds the possibility, and so people believe, to cure Alzheimer's, to cure Parkinson's. You talk about hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people, there'll be benefit from it. Then, point I want to make is, it becomes a mitzvah d'oraisa for us to participate. Then we have a chiyuv to do it. Why? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us 3 chiyuvim. Number one was not a chiyuv as much as a heter. V'rapo yirapo. Mikan shenitnu roshus l'ropei l'rapos. Why? And you really think you can make this fellow well without Rabbeinu Shleilam? So then why bother? My Gabbai in shul makes Misha Berach. I can put all doctors out of business. Let them say Misha Berach with Kavone. Maybe not too much Kavone. You promise me the Guba Kavone. Right? We get all the doctors to come to the Koilu. Comes Kodesh Baruch Hu and says, it's not going to work that way. If Nitna Roshus L'Ofel Rappos, look at the Machaber in Yehudaya, Mikan Yesh Chiyuv L'Rappos, then I must go to a doctor. And Christian scientists have it right. Why do you need a doctor for? A Manushak. If Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, you'll need a doctor. If Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want, that doctor won't help. So who needs a doctor for? The answer is, that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu said. If you go to a doctor, I can help. If you don't go to a doctor, I can't help. Kodesh Baruch Hu would love to. You're in trouble financially. You have to make a chasana. You would love to win a lottery. But you have to buy a ticket. Not a ticket, Kodesh Baruch Hu can't help. So the doctor is our ticket. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu set up the world. It's a world to run by natural law. And then Kodesh Baruch Hu participates. Look at the Sifri, the end of Dvorim. Neman yivorecha Hashem alakecha b'chol ma'asecha asher ta'aseh. Im ata oseh Hashem yivorechecha. Mi ata oseh lo yivorechecha. So this is mitzvah 1, the rapa yirapi. Then there's a mitzvah 2, which the Rambam quotes whenever he mentions the mitzvah of providing help for somebody. It's the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Vashi Vosavo, as Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if you have to return his lost donkey, how much more do you have to return his lost health? But the trouble is, a donkey, I know how to return. I grab the donkey by the reins, and I lead him back to where he goes. But I'm not a doctor, how can I help? No personal chiyuv. Comes the third halacha, the third pasuk, Lo samar adam re'echo, that the Gemara Sanhedrin interprets as a guri ogir. You can't cure somebody? You're not a doctor? Well, pay money and hire a doctor to do it. This is the real justification for all that tumult going on today about healthcare. According to that Mitzvah Hashem, there's a chiyuv to provide universal healthcare. The mitzvah of Lo Samar Adam Re'echo, right, applies to everybody. It applies to goyim as well as Jews. Halacha l'maisa, yes, you should meiva, whatever reason it is, but it applies to everybody. Mm-hmm. Next page is just it's an important page, yeah, because it mentions my name. That's all. Otherwise, no other reason for it. But if you want to know what we're talking about, right there, because the issue comes in now, the issue of abortion. In order to get what you want to get, a stem cell, when the egg begins to divide, it reaches about the 100 cell stage. At that time, it forms a blastula, and hanging from here, like a Hungarian chandelier, right? You have stem cells. That's where the next baby comes from. Not all that stuff is supportive of the stem cells. One of these stem cells can make a whole human being. It's called pluripotent. It is pluripotent. It can do everything, make every cell of the body. But if I don't pull out the stem cell, this will develop into a body, into a baby. By pulling out the stem cells, I kill it. That's the big tumult. And here, led by the Catholics, this has been the big tumult, and has held back stem cell research for the last 10 years or so, since they were first discovered. Why? Because of no government support of stem cell research. So all you have today, one or two corporations who see the monetary advantage of this work, see what kind of money they can make from it. They've been doing the work. Big one is Geron Corporation, the head of everybody. Yeah. And they've been doing all the work, but they don't publish their work. We don't know what they're doing, because they're worried about patent protection. So the field is not progressing unless you've got money to support university research, etc., etc. You want to add something?
At what point after conception do those stem cells develop? After 2 days, after a week?
At what point?
At what point after conception do those stem cells that you drew on the board develop?
Approximately 3.5-4 days or so. Okay. This article in the paper was concerned that issue of abortion. So this is there. So we have a halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai, that humanhood comes in on the 40th day. You should know that throughout human history, everybody believed that. The Goyim called it the day of quickening. But it was 40 days. And came along the Muslims. It takes them longer to become human, so they have a 120 days. Yeah. Came along the Pope and said, humanhood is that time of conception. when the sperm enters the egg, that's a human being. And that's what held back the government support. Here I gave you this. Important, I'll be discussing it a little differently. This is, I testified for a congressional committee, and the testimony was published. It's interesting, two things interesting. One, the content is not bad. Number two, it also teaches you how to talk to goyim. It's good to practice rabbinics. You see how you have to be careful with your lashon when you talk to a non-friendly audience. And every Shabbat speaks for a non-friendly audience. Okay, what I did here on the next page, the numbers disappeared completely. The page, embryonic stem cell ethical concerns. Now I did embryonic stem cells. Not adult stem cells. Adult stem cells, right now, the way it seems, are really limited to what they can do. They are not pluripotential. They can make other kinds of cells, but largely neurological cells, which we'd expect since they're in a muscle. That's where they usually come from. We have now from blood a little bit. Anyway, I summed up from the literature what is it that people are concerned with this research. What bothers many people is the first one, and that occurs over and over again in the ethical literature. This is an area, and suddenly they get very full. There's an area that shouldn't be open to your work, to your research. You're playing God. You're talking about what? The fundamental beginning of a human being at the early cellular level, and you want to take charge of that. It seems to be too bucolic a role for a human being. Now, we don't have that problem. That's a significant problem among the Protestants. The Catholics have others. They ask it anyway, but even among the Protestants, all Protestant theologians have been arguing this should not be open for man's intervention. I only mention it because it's important to emphasize that part of our mitzvah is to play God. Because Baruch Hu gave a world that's unfinished and asked us to finish up. If you say Bayahulu, and you say Friday night, you say Bayahulu properly, you should say it with this kind of punctuation, is this grammar. Hashem bo Elokim, comma, lasos, for us to do. This is part of our training. Because Baruch Hu gave an unfinished world, and that's meant to finish it. Therefore, he put in Odom, la'ovdo l'shomro. He didn't do it all by himself.
Wouldn't this argument also apply to grafting then?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Wouldn't this argument also apply to grafting then? Like, you know the Torah says we can't do that. But theoretically, under lassos, we should be.
I'm sorry, you asked
that. Wouldn't this argument also apply to grafting? Like, we know the Torah says we can't graft trees, but theoretically, if we say lassos, then we should. We're improving things.
Yeah. But then we have a word in the Torah is spelled Lamed Aleph, low. And God said, hey, don't do. Same one who said do said not to do. What's the problem? The big issue is number two, the humanhood of a fertilized ovum. Is it anything? Does it have any moral status? And here, surely it does. Why? You can't deny that potential is choshuv. It's about tashkes. But more than that, it certainly, so happened, we said it in Shir yesterday, and the beginning of the second parak in Maseches Nida, Hatzorah Zerah LeBatola, Moram spends a long daf, maybe Mabul Olam, discusses it as a issue, maybe according to one Tana of the Seles Adiplos, Losinov, Hoselavata. This is certainly, to kill this is Hoselavatola. If I can't kill it when it was a potential life, here the potential life has removed the head a little bit. Right? So certainly we're not going to treat it for garnished. It's not a nothing. But when you tell me I can do something with this to save a human life, now I have to ask you, is this a question of a life for a life? Are you killing someone to save someone? No, that you can't say. Therefore, that analysis, to use it for research, certainly so. You have... Let me skip that. Yeah, we'll get to it in a minute. I'll come back to this one and take a look at the sugar from the egos and from the sridiyesh. All right. Therefore, number three, certainly so. You can't just do nothing. And therefore, anyone who has any seichel says, what are we doing with all those fertilized eggs that are in the freezer? In vitro fertilization, you all know what that is, right? A woman is super ovulated. She produces, instead of one egg a month, she produces 18, 19, 20 eggs. They fertilize all the eggs. They check them out for genetic flaws, reason for going into that method. And then the rest that seem to be okay, but you can't put in that many in. You're only allowed to put in nowadays two. You put them in the freezer. That's where the whole tumor came in now with the Meretz Yisrael, whether you need hashgacha on it, you know, no you on the thing or not. If it has humanhood, as I've been saying, if you really believe it has humanhood, at least the mother should knit little sweaters and give it to them. It's poor, in the freezer all along. What am I going to do with those eggs? If you don't pay me $200 a year, I'm not going to keep them in the freezer. It's not a freezer, it's a nitrogen freezer. It costs a lot of money. You need liquid nitrogen to keep it going. Take care of it, etc. So what do? Every few months, you dump them in the wastebasket. That's okay, that's kosher. Part of respect for procreative potential is indeed to use it for research if you can. Then comes point number four, which is, to me, the real bottleneck in the whole research. As I mentioned before, you need eggs. Who's going to give you eggs? And why should they? See, a case, if there were such a case, we don't have no such human therapy yet done insofar as producing a clone, another individual. But assuming, barring that example, where a sister wants to give an egg to her sister because she's infertile, and this way she'll be able to get a baby with her genetic potential, not to the mother's potential, and get all this complicated business of not knowing who the mother is, who the father is, etc. As I've been saying, you take an egg from, as they advertise, all the colleges on the bulletin board, they advertise to the co-eds to provide eggs. They're now paying close to $25,000 for one cycle. Yeah. So the little girls have been doing it. They've been giving eggs. For why? For $25,000. So they're running around on a beach in Acapulco, right? And then they call them up and say, you know, you just became a mother. The lady in Mount Sinai just gave birth with your baby. Yeah. There's self-injury. There's no benefit to the one who gives the ovum. That becomes a big shaila. To me, halachically a shaila. And in fact, a bottleneck, just not available. To do the research, you need a lot of eggs. This guy Wang used up, they say some say 2,000 eggs, some say 280 eggs. but used a lot of eggs, unsuccessfully. But you don't have those eggs available, they're not around. Then comes a hashkofi, a secular hashkofi union. That's called kvod ha'odom. That's called commodification, right? Or exploitation, like Wang did. He said to his lab assistants, either you give me eggs or I fire you. Then comes what's going on in Washington today, number six. How do you spend money that you don't have?
Why can't they use the ones from IVF, like you said before?
I'm sorry?
Why can't they use the eggs from the IVF?
I didn't finish that. That's what I started to say about the IVF. So it's also to use it there, meaning the government will not support any research that uses a fertilized egg. So there's no, it's not there. Without government support, there's no work going on. It's expensive work besides, but just not not possible, period. When Obama came in, he signed a release, right, to begin research. But he didn't allow making it one yet. Also, to refer to the IVF ones, and that's the point I made, that would be the proper bakovidika use of those things, rather than throw them out in the wastebasket.
Also, at what point after you take the stem cell and put it into the... At what point could you...
Earlier, they put it in even earlier than that, because they put it in really as soon as they can check the genetics. That's the 8-cell stage. That happens in very 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 quickly. It's a very primitive one. It's interesting. Sperm can be frozen, the embryo can be frozen, the egg alone cannot be frozen. Some are claiming now they know how to do it, but it's not working. Yeah. So part of his bonus because it's broken. But Bo has saying something there. Then comes America, and that's where the money is supposed to come from. Number six. Here's the time that one government to support it. It'll cost a few $100 million a year to push this ahead. So some fellow from Arkansas says the children in my community don't have any well baby care. They can't afford to go to a doctor. So why should I spend the money for those few people who need stem cells to solve their problem? There'll be a small number of people, even if you deal with kidneys and heart. I mean, to add Alzheimer's and so on, they're big. Okay, but so who comes first? That's called justice. The first one, macro triage decisions. We don't have enough money for everything. It's allocation of scarce resources, right? So why should I do this? Let's see, maybe the other things are more choshev to society as a whole. And then seven is always creeps in all ethical decisions, and that is, who will benefit from this? After the research is done, no one is offering this kind of stem cell therapy for everybody. It's not possible. The number of such procedures will be highly limited. Who's going to get it? The rich people who can pay for it. That violates the concept of justice. What then the government should do for everybody? It's not possible. So you present an ethical problem, right? Then eight, as I'll show you, I put some examples in. Pressure to validate. That's a problem that developed. Once we had a little hint that maybe could do some good, people began using stem cells. So I gave you two pictures in the next two pages, right? Russia started in 05 already injecting stem cells for everything that ails you. We should go in, produce cancers, no doubt about it. Without special preparation, these things begin to grow, but with their own cheshbon, not taking into account the needs of the body. Then comes the most hidden, to me, the most interesting one, ageism. The British ethicists, they've been pushing that point. Unbelievable. They say, well, you're going to upset all of society if you allow this research to continue. Why? I have a worker in my place, assuming it involves technical abilities and so on, or plain seichel. He's been working for me for 30 years. He now has a heart attack. So I'll send him in for a new heart. He have trouble with his kidneys. Once I fix him up, why should I take a shlomazel who's going to start in the business? Then people will live too long, and it'll upset the whole society because young people won't have an entry into society. This is the big thing that the British are pushing now. And then comes 10. I told you that in the beginning. But no one's looking for reproductive cloning. We're looking for therapy. But nevertheless, they're afraid of what they call the slippery slope. If you get good at the therapeutic, sooner or later people will start saying, well, let's reproduce each other. Right. And the truth is that sometimes one of them is too much for society. They want two of them. That's okay, that's what I gave you. Then I gave you two pages to understand this is part of your need to be able to understand what's happening in the world, because in my opinion, that's also Limud HaTorah. And you hear, I give you an idea, because Mitzvah Hashem, if ever you ever get in a position where you have to paskin shailos, how careful you have to be on gathering information. Here I have two. Look at the dates on them. This is all from Nature, the most prestigious magazine we have, well, more than science even. March 2009, caution urgent trial of stem cells to treat spinal cord injury. Next, look at the next page. Stem cell treatment for myocarditis may be worth the risk. Right? Where's the date on that one? It didn't come out. Anyway, the date is the following month. The guy writes in March, this one is in April. That's the data. That's where we're up to. You can't make decisions. There's so much information. There has to be all those things within those 10 points that I recorded for you. Have to be evaluated, plus the technology. Someone said that's something there. Yeah, took a little bit louder. I got older since I began. Yeah, you have to repeat what he said.
If you clone someone, would they have seichel?
Right. Would they clone?
You wouldn't be able to reproduce.
Yeah, well, we've been making clones in animals. They are perfectly healthy animals. I mean, we've been cloning animals because I get a good cow that gives a lot of milk. I want to clone that one. I give a good bull that gives good meat. They've been cloning him now regularly. Okay. Yeah.
What's ethically wrong with cloning somebody? Is
what?
Is there any halakhic or ethical question with cloning?
I had a letter published in New York Times some years ago when this cloning business started that I said, show me a fellow whose parents were destroyed and his family was destroyed in the Holocaust, and he's the last survivor of a family, and he's sterile. And with cloning, by using one of his cells, I can reproduce a family genetics. Certainly we would do it. The reason to do it. Why do you want two of you? One is enough. One is too much. I mean, as it is, we have a problem. You look in the mirror, you say, I love you. You get another guy outside. Okay. Here I gave you the moko for the real problem. Right? Is there a problem in abortion or not? And that much I felt you should be familiar with. Look at the pasuk that the Gemara in Sanhedrin uses. In shofer dam adam bo adam domi yishofer. And I gave you on the other page English, because I used this once for something else. What's dam adam bo adam? the two pshatim, dam adam adam is abortion, and dam adam adam is self suicide, choking yourself, hanging yourself. That's dam adam adam, doesn't love anybody else. And there you have the two tshuvas, where the Ikkes Moshe takes an absolute stand that abortion is also as resicha, isu resicha. Okay? Lo chilik, Jew and non-Jew, the same isu. Then I quoted for you the tshuva of Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, that's how, great posting in Switzerland, and a very close friend of Rabbi Feinstein, that's how, where he doesn't want to grant any kind of humanhood before 40 days. The chilik, everybody is modi, don't just abort a woman, summer, so you have nothing better to do that day. But where there's a danger to the child, that the child will be born genetically damaged, and the mother will have great sorrow from it, where the Sridiyesh is Matir, and Igas Moshe asks it with Isul Sikha. Even that is not. Then I just gave you the moko, aren't too many mokos for this, and that is the self-injury problem. Also, Lord Domlach Bobi Atzmo. Okay, yeah.
Is there Moshe Mechalek between before 40 days and after 40 days?
Yes.
In the tshuva?
Yeah. In the tshuva, yeah. And I think we record the whole tshuva, there's a Yisra Tzichah is only after 40 days. Yisra Daraisa is before 40 days.
What's the Yisra Daraisa before 40 days?
Huh?
What's the Yisra Daraisa before 40 days?
The Yisra Daraisa before 40 days, based upon the Ramban in Torah Sodom, the Ramban says that a pregnant woman, one day pregnant, will be Mechal Shabbos to save the fetus. That's a big mokel halacha. But, okay. And then I gave you just really some reading material that you should read. Right. There. What I skipped over here is something that's happened in research. And that is the possibility that we can do all this work without an egg. I gave you a few references to it. One of them on the page before, this page here, before the embryonic education, new stem cell formula. Okay, let me tell you how this thing is done. We now have a new area of research. What I wanted to make sure you understand that it doesn't substitute for the embryonic cell. At this stage of the game, that's critical research in embryonic cell. Because we don't know what these other cells can do. Now, what are these other cells? They're called I. There's a little I in front of them. Right. IPC. The thing has, whatever it means, the eye is induced, right? Induced stem cells. There we talk about taking a skin cell, and first the treatment was using three viruses that reprogrammed it. That was that thing I showed you from the cover of Science. Reprogramming cells, instead of a cell being allowed to proceed, we make the cell go backwards. Every cell of your body has the same genes as every other cell. So how come some cells are nerve cells, some cells are muscle cells, are heart cells, blood cells, they're all the same genes? If genes make you are what your genes are, how come each one is different? The answer is that everyone has all the genes, but there's a switch that turns off a whole bunch of genes. These genes that are turned off allow the other genes to function, and they make a nerve cell, blood cell, muscle cell, etc. Well, maybe I can get someone to go in and turn the switches on. That's what they did. They found three viruses that when they attack the cell, turn all the switches on. So now it's at the peak, pluripotential. Induced pluripotential cells, IPC. So, what's wrong with that? Trouble is, two of the viruses that are used, two of the three, are isolated from cancer cells. They made the cancer. That's what you know, why? What's a cancer cell? A cancer cell says, I'm the first cell in the body. I can do whatever I want. I grow uncontrolled. No, problem is, when they got putting these cells in, many of them form tumors, form cancers. So the next breakthrough is, they can now do it without the viruses. What I mean? They can use a virus that enters the cell, and then the cell expels the virus. And the job of the virus was done. So you call him in, he turns on the switch, and you send him out. If he's out, he won't cause any trouble later on. And that's where we're up to today. We're at the point where we don't need eggs for many activities. That's what I gave you, the last thing. Generation of prostate from a single adult stem cell, right? We don't only need adults that have adult stem cells, we have also regular embryonic stem cells, and we also have all cells of the body. So that, I don't know if I got that in here, where they can go to the blood banks, I think it, yeah, and whatever that page is, this page over here, it says leveraging bank deposits. They show I go to the blood banks and take from the blood bank stem cells. In blood, there's always some stem cells, right? And use those stem cells, again, by treating them to wake them up and have them. So the field broke open. It's all, see the dates I gave you. 30th October 2009. Today's only November. That's what's happening. The field is blowing apart. But no one, until the government provides money. So what happened? California voted, they made a fund for it. They want to be ahead. So California now supports stem cells, but supports poverty-stricken support. Not a lot of money, a little bit of money. Get people move ahead a little bit. And New Jersey also voted to foster stem cell research. But until the people get through with this healthcare bill, that's part of the healthcare bill, the kind of supportive research that will be. Right now, the Catholics have succeeded. They've taken out of the bill anything that can deal with abortion. They won't even pay for an abortion, which right now is the constitutional right of a woman. In the first 3 months, this is their constitutional right to have an abortion. If you don't have an abortion the first 3 months, you're not a true American. Okay, that's basically what I can share with you on a quick introduction to a wonderful topic. But key to the topic is, whenever you see something, you have to ask the question, so what does the Torah say? How do we evaluate it differently?
When you started, you mentioned previously that we started with
we have more time, don't we?
Yeah, we have
35
minutes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That certainly if we start with Shvichazera Vatala and that we care about it in that stage, then days on after conception we would care about it. But then you mentioned if it were to save a life, then what was the where did it continue on from that?
Then there's a wonderful word that you use he said levatola. You take away the levatola, there's no hotzas shichvazera levatola. Right? That's the heter in infertility management.
Up to what day is that permissible? Up to 40 days?
Which? I'm sorry?
Oh, until what point could you as a, I guess, harvest from the, I don't know, whatever stage it is, up to 40 days you could do it to save a life, or are we saying that not at all?
If you could show me what you mean by save a life.
I don't mean
do research so that some guy will write a doctorate and 20 years from now it may prove. That doesn't go. We don't paskin that way. That's not called saving a life.
So
saving a life, we use the Noy Yehuda's definition. Kol amunach lefanecha. Something I can do right now to save something. That's the only way. Some long term. That it shouldn't be wasted rather than stored into the wastebasket, that I give it for research. That's a positive contribution. But that wouldn't be a basis for bimatar eisa.
So at this point, the only way that we would say it's permissible is in that case, which is to take what was left over from the IVF and would go into the trash can to use that. Otherwise, at this point, since we have nothing that mamashi could like be used in the moment, everything is research.
No. If you're trying to exclude newly formed embryos, no, they wouldn't be excluded. I could just as well start off with an egg and a sperm and make a zygote and harvest it. If the purpose is constructive, that would be fine.
For research purposes?
For research purposes.
Until what point could you harvest that?
I'm sorry?
Until what point?
You're mixing up two things. A egg in a petri plate is not an embryo attached to a uterus.
Okay.
Once it's attached to the uterus, then you're dealing with an ethical issue, alpi halacha, called abortion,
okay.
Early abortion. But as long as it didn't enter into a human being, it's hard for us to evaluate. If it's chluy tzur, we can't. You can keep the egg going for 40 days in a petri plate, right? It wouldn't make any difference. This comes the next question. Well, what if I can go ahead and make you a big petri plate and keep it going for 9 months? Right? Would also have no humanhood because it didn't enter into a human being? That question has been posed already. Right? An artificial uterus. Is there such a concept of humanhood in an artificial uterus? I haven't seen any of the poskim deal with it, but Dovah Poshut, certainly it's a human being. whether you can count into a minion, that's all those shyness about making the golem. We have not interested in making golems, we have enough already.
Are we saying that if it were in a petri dish after 40 days, it would still receive a nefesh, as it were?
I'm sorry?
If it were in a petri dish after 40 days, would we still say that on some level it would receive a nefesh?
I don't have any bekovas for that. Don't know. Yes. Okay. Let me just add one thing that I'm sorry I had this trouble teaching in the college. Those out of shield, so it's always an hour. Psychiatrist is only 40 minutes. I termed it hashkofe, and that, to me that's the key point of all this. Develop a Torah hashkofe on how you read stuff. As a gemara in Shabbos in the Chayin Hay, that's a strange gemara. All in the name of Rav. And Rav somehow came across as the scientist among the Tanoim Amoraim, wherever he fits on the boundary line, Tanoim Amoraim. He's the one that in Gemara Sanhedrin who went off 18 months with the shepherds, right, to learn Mumin, once I'm over, once a mum not over, when he came back, he hadn't had smicha yet, they gave him smicha, yore yore yod yodin, ubechoros al yati. Didn't allow him to pass on bechoros. Why? He knew too much. He was able to differentiate the mum over and not. Others were trying to copy him and messing everything up. So it's better not to let him pass on Chinese because he had all the coolers. That's what machmir, what can you do? He says, Moran Shabbos there, he has a strange statement. There's Misha Yodea Lachshov Kufus Amazolos Beina Choshev Osa L'Saper Emeno. You mustn't talk to him. Why? He knows astronomy. He doesn't devote himself to it. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the end of the Omelet, Mitzvah Lachshov Shkufus Amazolos. Shenemar v'hi chachmasa minasa leini wami. What's your chachma bina? Not pshat and tesis. Chachma bina is, you know the science of the time. According to that analysis, our boast that we have more Nobel Prize winners per capita than any other nation, any other religion, right? That's fulfilling at Sivu Hashem. People should respect the Jew. They hate us, but they have to respect us. So they kill us respectfully. What he's saying there is a critical thing. He's saying that you can leave it to the others. You can leave the whole world, the whole natural world, biological world, chemical world, leave it to others, because there is nobody who works in a field that doesn't add to the field his perspective, his hashkofa. And if the hashkofa is going to come only from others, then the world will pick up a secularism which we see today. We didn't fight them. We didn't compete with them. We let them take the leadership. And even now, the battle doesn't seem to be worth it, because it's a losing battle. They got too far ahead of us. The secular view of it. This past year was the year of Darwin. And everybody's celebrating the 200th anniversary of the publication of his Origin of the Species. But what he did was really nothing. And that you can interpret all his work, all his findings from our hashkofa. But we let it get away from us. And therefore evolution became what? The opponent of religion. So now we have, to our shame, we have the goyim defending God. Right? They talk about intellectual design. Yeah, there's a world, but it came along about through certain biological rules and so on, but there's a fellow upstairs who is in charge. Right? I mean, they have to tell that to us. We don't even find it significant to argue with them in the beginning, because we didn't have that problem in the beginning. Should share that with you. A bit of a peeve I have now. They published a new Mishnayos, a Jochen Boer, a big Mishnayos. If you take a look carefully, there's something missing in that Mishnayos. The Peres Yisrael had the Drush Or Chaim, a discussion of evolution. So the powers that be decided that we need a glatt kosher Mishnayos. So they left it up. This is the way they teach evolution in most of the, quote, FUM high schools. It's taught by razor. You take a razor and you cut it out, that solves the problem. We have no more problems. From our Talmidim, we'd expect it a little bit better. We're prepared to meet them in any arena. Baruch Hashem, we understand science as well or better. We think that we have this hashkafa also for the Baruch Hashem, so it tells us how to think. This is what, maybe that's what we're here for. Maybe this is the whole justification. No one interprets it exactly that way. What we mean by Torah or Mada. Not like you people in your publications, not Torah or Madua, but just that, Torah or Mada as a unit. Not synthesis, but coexistence. Synthesis is a bad word. Dr. Belkin's used to use the word synthesis. I mean, enough of a biologist to know that when you synthesize something, the end product doesn't resemble either component. No, but this symbiotic relationship, it coexists because you can't live one without the other. This is should be part of our normal reaction to anything that you read in the paper. But I know you people have no time to read the paper, that's the problem. Neither do I. Most of these articles, I had a fish out from my bed because I fall asleep in the middle of the article. But before I go to sleep, I reserve a half hour to read Nature and Science and JAMA and New England Journal of Medicine. Not because anything, I got to teach a course, that's all. So it's all done under compulsion. But the end result is you see a different view of life. You have to have those ideas. I last Thursday I was present when Rav Lichtenstein Shlita spoke about his defense of English literature as a proper study for a Talmud Chacham. Yeah. Many years ago we argued in print. I felt that English literature is real batola, and if you want to do something intelligent, you just do biology. But the point he made was an important point, that you have to see the outside world. How do you see the outside world? The truth is, hafochbo v'hafochbo dekulibo, that's the pshat. Not you're going to find stem cells in the Gemara. It's not there. But what you're going to find, when you find the stem cell, go back to the Gemara and ask the Gemara, Nu, what do you say about it? That's Kulibor. That's all there. Nothing new has happened in the field that you can't find in the Gemara. But you don't find the information in the Gemara. You find out what you do with the information in the Gemara. That's there. That's Kulibor. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Any questions? I'm sorry. If you anything you want to, you can ask a little off field also. As long as we're getting into trouble, might as well get in trouble.